Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, May 12th, 2011. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be dissidents in thought. I'm sorry. I got that backwards. We need to be revolutionaries in thought and dissidents in action. I never screwed that one up before. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. I repeat, 888-773-4496. Folks, please call in. I don't like listening to myself talk. I love to listen to listeners to see what they have on their mind, and we can develop programs around your questions and your concerns. Of course, you can send me comments to our email address, comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. In his newsletters, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. He also has a service where he can help you in your investments and your financial life. And he's very, very good. He's an economist from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I've got to know him over the years. He's just as terrific because he's plain, he's honest. You understand what he's talking about, and he doesn't hide any garbage from you. Like, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that. You know, he understands what's going on. We are going to have him on the program next Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have him on the third Wednesday of each month. And we are just so pleased and proud that he does that for us and all our listeners. And our listeners really appreciate it. So please tune in, especially next Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. That would be the 18th of May. That would be the third Wednesday in May, 18th of May, 7 o'clock Central Time. And listen to Andy Sutton. He'll give us an update of what's going on. In fact, I just turned on the Don Imus show just to look at where we were, and it looks like everything is down, down, down. We'll talk about that just a little bit. Liberty Talk Radio is now available on iTunes for your listening convenience, and we're also now available on Twitter. I have this sheet that I've been giving from my person who handles all my stuff for me. He says, be sure and follow us on Twitter. It says, at Liberty Joe. It's L-I-B-E-R-T-Y, Joe. At Liberty Joe, okay? I guess the at sign, at Liberty Joe. We are currently flirting with the idea of starting a Liberty Talk Radio YouTube channel. I didn't know that. They sprung that on me. All right. Keep checking back for updates. We have an email subscription service to alert you of a new broadcast. Sign up. Really do. Just sign up. I mean, I don't hound you. We don't put you on any mailing list. It just tells you the broadcast will be, you know, Wednesday, the day before or so. It just tells you when the broadcast will be and what the subject matter will be. You can click it off in a second. I know. By the way, I have unsubscribed to about everything. You know, anything that I don't use. And I really do hope you use this station for your benefit. We have an email subscription service. Let's see. Here we go. Liberty Talk Radio is on iTunes now. I said that before. Subscribe to iTunes. Leave a review. I need a review. Podcasts are also available on the archives at libertytalkradio.com. Wow, that's a lot of stuff, isn't it? We have a lot of places. And, you know, today we're becoming ubiquitous. Everyone is everywhere. But we have to make sure that what we are listening to is, of course, of value to us. All right? Oh, by the way, we do have a – I don't know if I said this, but we have a reminder service. And not only that, but you can get on our website and click where you're listening from. And all it does is put a little pin drop, you know, pin where – where you're listening from, so we get an idea geographically where people are listening from. I know we do have many listeners overseas. I know the UK, we have them in Spain, we have them in Indonesia. It's amazing, absolutely amazing, and I'm so, so proud of this station. Yeah, I've been doing this now for almost 5 years. Today's broadcast is entitled It's the Right Thing to Do. I'd like to tell you how I arrived at that, the right thing to do. When I speak to people about business, especially students, you know, I ask them, why do you give good customer service? And, you know, you get the proper answers. And they would be something like, well, that's to ensure, you know, customer loyalty, return business, you know. And it really centers around, and our focus is centers around business. And it's very true. That's what you should be doing, you know. And after I go around, if I'm at a classroom and I say, that's very good, you gave me all very good answers, I said, unfortunately, none of them were correct. And they stare at me like, this guy has lost his marbles. What are we listening to this guy for, you know? I said, the reason why you give good customer service, folks, is because it's the right thing to do. Why have we lost that in everything that we do today? We give good customer service because it's the right thing to do. I don't cheat on my wife because it's the right thing to do. What happened to that? We always have a however comma on everything that we do. We qualify everything. It's just the damn right thing to do. And we don't do that anymore. I'm going to mention that as I talk about some programs and say, is this the right thing to do? I was at a meeting last Tuesday morning. It was called a brain trust. Businessmen get together. I'm sorry. Business people get together. Some a woman. And they present problems in their business. And people just talk. I sit there. I sit in the back and I listen. I think it's fascinating. And one guy gave a presentation. He talked about, you know, the number of poor in the United States relative to UK, France, Sweden, and some other country, industrialized country. Now, I didn't participate in it. I just sat in the back. But I asked a question to myself. I said, all right, yeah, we have proportionally more poor. However, they decided that this international organization decided that our poor, we have more poor than other nations, which I find difficult to believe. But assuming that's correct, that's not the question. That does beg the question. It does beg the one question. Who's responsible for the poor? Who is responsible for the poor? Think about it. Who is responsible for the poor? You have any idea? See, I knew. I knew as soon as that came into my head, I knew exactly who was responsible for the poor. You want to hear the answer to that? Here it comes. The poor. The poor are responsible for the poor. They are responsible for themselves. You know why? Because it's the right thing to do. No other reason. Because you're born poor, in poverty, does not limit your potential. Does not give you the same opportunity. Now, of course, if you're wealthy and you got connections and you get jobs because of in financial firms making millions, and oh, sure, I'm not talking about that. Forget about the 1,000th of 1%. I'm talking about the rest, the 99.99% of the people. How many times have you heard, or listened rather, to people who are incredibly successful? We're talking multi billionaires. Heads of big companies. Rarely do they say, I graduated Harvard or Yale. And they started from humble beginnings, for the most part. And you say, how did this guy come from the streets of Boston and ever, you know, now he's, you know, he's internationally known, he's a billionaire. One of the wealthiest men in the world. May have dropped out of high school. Now, I'm not suggesting if you drop out of high school, you will become a billionaire. Don't go there, please. But these people had drive and ambition because they were responsible for themselves because that was the right thing to do. And the problem with this country, folks, is that we do not do the right thing. We no longer do the right thing. We have an excuse for everything. Well, I voted for the Republicans because I thought that he was the lesser of two evils. That's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is be an American. Dissent! Don't vote. What happened to us? Bunch of pansies. Pansies. That's what we are. Don't vote. Dissident. I'm proud of the people in Egypt. They went to the streets. collectively. And you know why? Because the internet connected people for the first time. People were connected. People started writing each other. They didn't know each other. They didn't know if they were a Muslim or if they were a Christian or if they were a Buddhist or they were an agnostic. They had no idea. But they had a common cause. They knew it was up to them. They knew what the right thing to do was. Individually, they can do nothing. But collectively, they were a powerhouse. And they took to the streets. They did the right thing. And they didn't do it for, you know, any other reason other than it was starving, folks. They were starving and unemployment's 40%. And that's the problem most places of the world. And they did the right thing. You know, I liken this to government versus the private industry. Hold on one second, just let me take a swig. Now I have my own business. My wife has her own business. Right, so we understand. We understand what customer service is. In my business, when I was working there, I'm retired, semi-retired. I do the financial work at home. I go in and out of the place, but I'm not an operating person anymore at the business. When I was there, if I heard the phone ring for the third time, there would be screams. The phone had to be answered by the second ring. People don't want to be sitting on the phone. Ring, ring. They don't want to do that. They want to hear, ring, hello. That's the right thing to do. That's the way you treat customers. I called a lady one time, a woman, very nice lady. She was the head of this company. And we did her testing for her employees for their hearing. Her name is Mary, never forget. I said, Mary, this is Joe. I said, just wanted to see if we were schedule your hearing testing for this year. And we're scheduling for the month of April, May, June, whatever it was. And she says, oh, am I glad you called. She said, you missed last year. I says, no, we couldn't have done that. She said, yes, you did. I said, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. What do you mean we missed? She said, you didn't show. I said, maybe we don't do that, Mary. She says, I know that. She said, it's okay. She says, you know, we should have called you. We didn't. We got lazy. We let it go. He said, well, you know, we'll take a gamble. We'll do it next year. It just slid. I said, Mayor, I can't believe it. I said, hold on. Went to the file cabinet. Opened the file cabinet. Opened the file. Said, ha-ha, I got proof to her that we were there. She was right. I said, Mary, I said, I cannot believe this. I said, something happened. She said, I think it had something to do where there was a problem. The technician was supposed to be here and then something happened to the truck or something like that, and then it didn't get rescheduled, basically. It just fell between the cracks. Anyway, I said, okay, Mary. I said, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, if you would be so gracious as to have us back this year, I will personally do the testing all myself. I'll come up and visit you, buy you a cup of coffee at the same time. She says, oh, that's wonderful. She said, you don't have to do that. I said, what? I'm not finished. I said, not only will I come up, I said, but we're going to do the job absolutely free of charge. Everything. Anything you need for the year is free of charge. I said, we put your company in jeopardy of being in violation with OSHA, a government agency. She says, oh, that's wonderful. She said, so nice and a wonderful gesture, unnecessary. I said, Mary, let me put it another way. And I was almost getting didactic about it. I said, Mary, either you have me come up there and do all the work for free, or you find somebody else. Do you understand what that means, folks? Do you understand what that means? Do you understand? Do you know how much that would have cost me? I'm not going to go through the economics of it. It was not cheap. It didn't bother me. I wasn't angry. I was pleased to do it. I was pleased to do it, folks. Believe me, I couldn't wait to do that job. And I couldn't wait to do it absolutely perfectly. And I couldn't wait to buy her a cup of coffee. To prove to her that when we say we do something, we do it. Because of one reason only, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Let's stop for station identification and I can wet my whistle at the same time.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm back and I wet my whistle. I'm a little bit better now. Anyway, and we still have that account. I think we still have that account. I hope we do. But you understand what I'm saying, folks. You see, when I speak to the kids, I shouldn't say kids. Everyone's a kid to me. I'm 68 years old. Everybody's a kid. I see a person who's 59. Hey, kid, come over here. Smack you one. Well, when I speak to students, I explain to them, well, if you're basing your customer service on a monetary value, in other words, you're saying, well, it's good, we should do this because we get return business, then the amount of customer service that you will provide will be contingent about how much the person is going to buy from you, how much money you're going to make out of the transaction. So if a person is just a regular, good, steady customer, doesn't buy that much, you'll give them some customer service, but not that much. I mean, please. I mean, don't go out of, be nice to the guy, but please, don't smile. I mean, why would you crack a smile? Why would you waste your time? I mean, the guy's only buying X number of dollars a month from you guys. Wait for the guy who buys the big stuff, then you could smile a lot. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense to you folks? But that's what we do, because we're not doing the right thing. You just do the right thing. And I'm proud of it. And I tell my employees that all the time. You better damn do the right thing. I'll give you an example. It happened this weekend. My wife and I did a bike ride called Tour de Tulsa. I love the bike ride. Very challenging. Now, I only did the 25-mile bike ride. I think it turned out to be 26 miles or whatever it is. Now, I haven't been biking much. I haven't been training at all, but it was hilly. It was an incredibly challenging 25 miles. It goes up this road called Skyline Drive, and it goes to the west side of Tulsa. We are talking hill city. I mean, some very short, but very steep hills. And I tell you, I'm surprised I didn't have a coronary. I mean, I made the stupid thing, and I was happy. I finished it, you know. Could have gone farther. You know, I wasn't all exhausted, and I was really pleased. We usually do the 50-miler. Back in the old days, we used to do what they call a metric century, which is 62 miles. Well, I'm getting older, you know. Anyway, so we go pick up the T-shirts, which we paid for well in advance. I signed up for this thing the first notification I received. My wife gets her T-shirt, size small. Actually, she's an extra small. In fact, it was too big for her. I get my T-shirt, which is a medium, called extra large. That's right, folks, you heard. My medium called extra large. Now you say, well, what does this have to do with the price of beans in Denmark, Mr. Cristiano? Well, we go back and I say, well, you know, I indicated medium. They say, oh, we ran out of medium. I said, but I signed up and I paid my money and I really want a T-shirt because my wife and I wear the same T-shirt that day when we go out for lunch and stuff like that, sort of celebrate that we've accomplished something, you know, our trophies. I said, we don't have any. We have no mediums. I said, well, I ordered medium. Well, they don't have any medium. Now, let me tell you who's running this thing. The city of Tulsa. The city of Tulsa. I mean, the city that's supposed to be protecting us, supposed to be caring for us, supposed to be doing, you know, people that we elect are public servants. They're not Wall Street mongrels. No, they're public servants. They're supposed to be serving us. I'm paying them, and they're saying, they don't have a medium. I said, what do you mean? So, I found this out in the very beginning. So, we're biking, and halfway through the ride, there's a rest stop. And the gals there, you know, are giving out, you know, water and oranges and bananas and stuff. And I asked one of them, I said, is anyone here involved, you know, with the Tour de Tulsa? They said, oh, girl, she's got a parent. She said, yeah, I am. I said, oh, that's nice. I said, I just want to relay something to you. No big deal. And I told about the T-shirt. She says, oh, don't worry. She said, give me your name. She said, I'll look into it. I said, you're kidding me. I said, no. She said, I'll actually call you back. I really couldn't believe it. I said, oh, I'd love that. I said, just get me a meeting. I said, look, I know the T-shirt business. I said, I know they have a they have these big runs, but they keep all the stuff there. You know, they keep the logo and whatever. And for them to just make a T-shirt for a big customer like you, City of Tulsa, I'm sure you make thousands of T-shirts, you know, a year. They'd be more than happy to make a T-shirt for you in case you're out. She said, oh, yeah, no problem. So she calls me back 2 days later. I couldn't believe it. City never gave me such service. She says, Mr. Cristiano, this is Pam from the City of Tulsa. I said, yeah. She said, I'm here to call you about your T-shirts. I said, oh, that's wonderful. She said, we don't have any. I said, well, I know that. I said, that's why I was talking to you about it. She said, well, we have no more. I said, well, I know that. I said, well, I thought you were going to get me one or something. She said, oh, we can't do that. I said, why not? She says, well, that's closed. I said, what's closed about it? I didn't get my T-shirt. She said, well, she said, the girl who actually does the ordering is so-and-so. I forgot the girl's name. She said, I'll transfer you. I said, I'll speak to her. Fine. I mean, I'm not arguing. But I said, I understand, Pam. I said, I know. The city is a tough place to live, work. Okay. So she transfers me over. Well, I never get the girl. I get back to Pam. She says, oh, I'm sorry. She says, well, she wasn't there. She said, I spoke to her. She said, if you want a T-shirt, here's the name of the company. You can call them, and you have to pay for it yourself. I said, but I already paid for it. I said, why does the city pay? She said, we can't do that. You see what I mean, folks? I said, okay, I understand, Pam. This is what I expected. It's okay. Don't worry. I'm not angry. I said, I'm just incredibly disappointed. But that's life. You know, what are you going to do? Thank you very much for at least trying. I appreciate that, and hung up. You see what I mean, folks? The city has no skin in this game. If this was a private company and the guy ordered a diesel engine, you sent him a gasoline engine, you wouldn't say, well, sorry, we're out of diesel engines. You wouldn't do that. But the city would do that. And the heck with you. Because they don't do the right thing, folks. They do things according to legislation, according to what's legal, what's the least resistance. They no one goes out of their way. Nobody. No one would go say, Pam could have said, let me call them, you know, the Acme T-shirt company. Hey, Acme, I need a medium. Make me one. Have it here tomorrow. They would have been more than happy to do that. They would not have charged her. But, oh, no, it's not in her realm of responsibility. And that's so in the other department. And they may get billed for it. May get fired. You know, all this other stupid stuff. The customer means nothing. Because they do not understand the meaning when someone says, what is the right thing to do? The right thing to do is to avoid it. They do not understand that. And I'll give you another example. When government is not doing the right thing, they're doing the best that they can do. Listen to that, folks. When the government is not doing the right thing, they're doing the best that they can do, and that's abominable. And, folks, I want to ask people to please call. We have a toll-free number, 888-773-4496. 888-773-4496. We got a lot of open lines. Folks, I don't want to hear myself talk for the next 20, 30 minutes. Please give me a call, 888-773-4496. Of course, your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I promise each one will be answered, every one of them, you know, no matter what you say. And I want your comments, your opinions, and especially your criticisms. I'd love to hear it. And if you want to be on the show, please let me know. Okay, that's 888-773-4496. comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you have a cell phone, you can call our direct line, 646-652-4620. I think that's also on our website. Now, when the government says that's the best that I can do, that sets the bar really low, extremely low. And that's the way our society has been developed. Because we look toward government, we look up to government. So what should we be doing? What should we be doing? Well, we're not doing the right thing because government's not doing the right thing. I guess it's okay for us. And our society is going to hell in a handbasket because of that. I'll give you another example. They were interviewing President Obama. And they asked him about the showing of the pictures of Osama bin Laden. And he said, I saw them. Now, why he had to see them, I don't know. Why he had to see pictures of someone else being shot, I don't know. I can never figure out, well, you know, I'm the president, I got to see this person getting shot, but you can't. That's a totally different issue. He said, I don't want to show, he says, no, I refuse to have those pictures being shown of Osama bin Laden being shot. He says, because that's not what we're about. That is not what we are about. You know, folks, there is something wrong with my brain, because when I hear that, I just go absolutely ballistic. That's not what we're about. We send tens of thousands of troops, drone aircraft, our regular aircraft, tanks, missiles, you name it. We are bombing the bejesus out of a country. I mean, we've probably killed thousands upon thousands of innocent people, you know, in our quest to root out the bad guy, you know, the insurgents or whatever they want to call them, or whatever name they give them these days, you know, and not showing a picture is not what we are about. How about we don't go around killing people, because that's not what we are about? And how about asking the president, what do you think the right thing to do was? And I'll bet if they did, he couldn't answer that question. He'd have to swallow his own tongue and choke to death. It's not what we're about. That's like me cheating on my wife incessantly. And say, hey, did you ever show a picture of your girlfriends to your wife? Oh, no, Bob. That's not what I'm all about. Not me. Please, don't put me in that category. I mean, that's what's saying the same thing. I get cheated on my wife. I wouldn't show a picture. Please, who do you think I am? You know, that's not what I'm about. You know, that's not what we are about. How about doing the right thing? It's the right thing to do. That's what we should be about, Mr. President, doing the right thing. And doing the right thing is not killing anyone, 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 anyone. Now, let me repeat that, anyone. And trumping up these stupid, damn stupid wars and then justifying it by calling everyone terrorist and giving every insurgents and Al-Qaeda and Taliban and all, most organizations that we started in the first place, who killed many other people, and then we make our enemies, and then we start another war with them, and we say, that's not what we're about. Well, you know what we're about? You don't even know, Mr. President, and neither does the American people. They are confused. They are so confused, they have no idea what's going on. That's why everything is so shaky. Everything is so shaky. This whole economy is shaky. People don't know what to do. You know, I went to a graduation. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I went to a graduation. And folks, come on. There's no one who called this morning. 888-773-4496. Please. 888-773-4496. I went to a graduation. My daughter-in-law graduated with a degree in master's degree. Wonderful. I applaud her for that. And I'm listening to the degrees that are being awarded to the individual students, you know, the graduates. And I hear terms like a master's degree in human development, a master's degree in family counseling, undergraduate in child education, which I'm all soft degrees. I mean, I'm telling you, 80 to 90% were soft degrees. They were like, elementary teaching and all that. I'm not saying any of these were bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying any of these degrees are bad or not needed. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a preponderance of them, well beyond the majority, were all what I call soft degrees. There was no one there with a degree in manufacturing. No one got a degree in welding. No one got a degree in cabinet making. No one got a degree. I mean, nothing solid. No one got a. I heard one accountant One person, I'm sure I missed many of them because I couldn't listen to this all night long. There's hundreds of kids, you know, but students graduating. But there was one geologist. At least that was something specific. All the rest were the soft, namby-pamby, you know, development of the child, the family interaction, relationship stuff. You know, all this the psychological, sociological, mumbo-jumbo pseudoscience crap. And I looked there, and there was a whole floor of students. Just gigantic floor. And I thought to myself, none of them are going to be able to find a job. None. Let's stop for station identification.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio.
Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our subject this morning is the right thing to do. Right now I'm ranting about soft versus more meaningful or direct degrees and what that means to our economy and why we're doing it. Please call in. I mean, call in with any subject you want. Any subject is fine with me. 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. Our direct line. If you're calling from a cell phone, you can save me a few cents. 646-652-4620. Don't care. Use either number. And you can send me your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Now, I'm going to get back to this degree business. Now, what does that tell you about our economy? Because I told you in the very beginning, I said, you know, things look very shaky. Well, people can't find jobs. They're afraid to tackle things today. So they get something safe. They get something in family counseling, you know. And who are you thinking you're going to work for? You're going to work for either the city, the state, right? Or you're going to work for a nonprofit organization, right? In both cases, you're not making much of a contribution. I mean, there's no productivity there. And now, the argument is, well, if people were, guided properly, they would become more productive. No, there's no direct productivity there. No direct. It's always this pie in the sky. Well, if we help this person, and then this person gets on their feet, and then they'll become a more productive person. Oh, garbage. Like I said in the beginning, who's responsible for the poor? The poor! Nobody else. And so when we see this and we see all of these graduates sitting out there, where do you think they're going? There's no private placement for these people. None. Maybe there's a few in human resources, like we need more human resource people, more garbage like that. You know, to muddy the water even further. There's a few of those. But the rest are going to be winding for the state or the city. More city jobs. We'll say, there ain't no city jobs. Ain't no state jobs anymore. They're shedding people. These people are going to be out of work. I heard a statistic once, and I'll be honest with you. I cannot believe the statistic. And I'm sure I'm wrong somewhere. And someone please call me and correct me. They said the graduates today have an unemployment rate of 85%. It's shocking. You can't believe that. These are college graduates. So what are they doing? They're going back to school and getting their master's degree. And they're getting government grants, which they'll never be able to pay off. And they're getting soft degrees in stupid stuff that can pay nothing. My niece, sharp girl, straight-A student at Sepulpa High School. Straight A's. Never got anything but an A. Went to OSU pre-med. Found chemistry too difficult. Immediately dropped out. I was so disappointed. What'd she do? She got a degree, I'm not kidding you, in babysitting. I mean, it didn't be called babysitting, but basically she was a babysitter. She goes to hospitals and sit with kids and babysits them, you know, before their operation. She's a babysitter. She couldn't find a job. She's working at a bank now. Worked at a bank now for a year or two. What's she doing now? She's going back for a master's degree. What's she doing? She's going to teach. She's going to teach kids. They're laying off teachers. Her mother's a teacher. That's why she's doing it. Her mother makes really a very good salary. The only time she gets upset is when they don't give her a raise and she goes to Washington, goes to Oklahoma City and she protests and she takes a sick day off. Folks, there is so much nervousness in this society. We have no direction, absolutely none. We don't know what's going on. The stock market goes all the way up, all the way down, all the way up, all the way down, day by day. Everything's fine, everything's bad. Everything's fine, everything's bad. People don't know. They have no strong, sure footing. They have no idea. And they don't even know what the right thing to do is. Folks, we don't know what the right thing to do is. And it's scary. It's going to get more scary as we get out there. All right? We have someone on the line. Let's take our first caller. Caller, you're on the air. Your first name and where you're calling from.
Sarah from Broken Arrow.
Sarah from Broken Arrow. Thank you for calling in this morning. You're going to save my voice. I appreciate that so much. What's your question?
Oh, you're welcome. I just have a comment. I was a homeschooling mom in the early 80s when there were very few of us. And I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate your show and how it would have been great if I'd had it back then just for the support and the ideas. And I just think it's great. But what are your views now on homeschooling?
Well, Sarah, I take the position that we have to determine who is responsible for your children. Who is responsible for your children?
I am.
You are. My exactly. Family. You are responsible. And you know what we do here in this stupid country? We say, oh, parents are responsible. But when it comes to educating them, which is the responsibility, which is the main responsibility in taking responsibility. They say, well, that belongs to the state. It makes no sense. The parents are responsible for the training, for the education, the educating of their children. Now, the question here is, what do we mean by education? Now, in our very, very narrow-minded thinking, we say, oh, education is when you drag a kid out of bed and you get them to eat their Pop-Tarts, put them on a orange bus, and they get taken away, right, just like they did in Auschwitz, you know, and you take it away, and they go to Never Never Land, and they're all put in what I call not a room, but a cell with 30 other students or so, and of all different persuasions, of maturities, but they are about the same age. That's the criteria, the same age. That means you can have brilliant kids and near-retarded kids, make them all in the same place, and then your teacher teaches them stuff so they can pass the test. Is that education? I say absolutely not. Education means preparing yourself to become independent. Independent citizen, and not be a drag on anyone else, so you can fulfill what you want to do in life. You don't have to memorize anything. Now, if a person wants to homeschool, I think that's fabulous, and that's what everyone should do, in my opinion. What you did was quintessentially the best thing that could be done. But let's say you get to a point, you say, well, you know, my son or my daughter has a propensity to do this. They really have an interest here. I know nothing. Well, you can help them, get them the books or whatever, have them study, read, you know, help them. But also, then you can say, well, there's school or whatever specializing this. Would you like to go to that school? If the kid wants to go, go. And the kid studies that. But it's not based on, well, you're 12 years old, you're in this grade, and you got to take this test. And so they develop that way. Obviously, if you want to become a geologist, most likely, eventually, you're going to have to wind up going to school. You're going to need some professors of geology and go on trips and whatever and laboratories and stuff like that. That you cannot do as a parent at home, unless you're a geologist and you have a lab there. And it's unlikely that you do. So in those cases, then it's elected that you, the student, your child, go to one of these schools. But the child wants to go, and you're helping, but you're not sending your child to school. Your child is asking you, help me learn this. Help me become this. How do I do this? And you are paving the path for them. Where our school system right now is making kids absolutely kills the wonder of children. Children are they're always wondering, you know, why is the sky blue? I mean, they're imaginative. They're amazing people, amazing mechanisms, the young kids. But we put them in school, and God forbid that they think differently than anybody else, they're a troublemaker. I think the school, the entire school system, the, as we have it today, entirely should be disbanded. They should be private schools, and only the students should only, kids only should be sent there if the student wants to go and the parent thinks that's the right thing for the student. Did that answer your question?
Yes, that's good. And that's how I felt 30 years ago. So thank you very much.
Well, if you homeschool your children, I'll bet you they're doing very well.
Yes, they are.
Can you tell us? Give us a little insight, if you, you don't mind. Give us a little insight as to what they are doing now. Give us a little idea.
Well, one of them, who I homeschooled for the most, sometimes they did go to school, but has his own built company, and he has a construction company.
Great.
But I also did a lot of things like that, and so did his dad, and so he learned it right with us.
Great.
And, you know, since he was a little boy, he just loved building and doing things, and he also was an avid reader and was real good in his studies, but he had a lot of hands-on by the time he was 10. And then we had another son who was had learning disabilities, and he really needed a lot of one-on-one attention. And what I did was I homeschooled him, but I'd take him over to the school for a couple of hours a day where they did special things with him.
That's wonderful. Okay.
And that was very helpful. To help with this learning disabilities. And they supported me and knew that I was doing the best thing because he needed lots of special attention. And then I actually had children later on, and I sent them to a public school. So I, not that I went against homeschooling, but I was in a situation here in Broken Arrow where I felt like this situation was good, and they went ahead and went to public school, and they're doing great too. But
okay.
We did a lot of homeschooling on the times when they were at home.
Okay, so, all right. I think that's a wonderful integration of the two. It would have been even better, however, if in that city of Broken Arrow, they weren't city schools, but they were private schools specializing in certain areas, and you would have had the choice of picking which one you want to go to rather than the one that's in your district or whatever. Sarah, thank you so much for calling. If you don't
Absolutely.
Already...
Absolutely. That would have been...
Okay.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Well, Sarah, if you don't already have one, send me an email to comments at libertytalkradio.com, and I'd be more than happy to send you a Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt for being such a good mom, okay?
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for your show.
Bye-bye now. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. That's nice to have a call like that every once in a while. You know, it gives me a nice break. And, folks, this is the end of today's broadcast, so what are we going to do here? Let's see. Here we go. Oh, boy, that's too loud. Wow. Here we go. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, folks, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.